Morning. If you have your Bibles, and I sure pray that you do, please join me in the book of Ephesians once again. Ephesians chapter 4. And actually, if you just want to get to chapter 1, which is probably the next page in front of that, we're going to actually start there. But let me just review a little bit. Our theme this year is, am I all in? Does Jesus, who gave all of himself for me, have all of me in return? That's what we're striving to embrace in better ways this year. And we began to learn that one of the things that God is primarily about in our lives is he's growing us to be more like his son Jesus. And so we have been recently, over the past 4 or 5 weeks, learning and searching out and fleshing out Ephesians 4 in its entirety to try to understand, you know, how do I participate with God in his attempt to grow me and mature me to be more like his son Jesus? How do I participate? And we have learned that one of the things we have to do is learn doctrine. And another thing we have to do then is learn how to put off the old and embrace the new that Christ has purchased for us. A third thing that we learned is we have to be intentional about protecting our unity, meaning we have to stay centered in the gospel. And last week we learned that the church should be intentional about equipping the people, and the people should be intentional about being equipped to do the work of the ministry so that we can together become more like Jesus and glorify God, right? Okay, so that's where we've been. Today, I want to talk about the movement of growth. And I want to begin in Ephesians chapter 1. If you look at verse 5 with me, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5, Paul says there, he says that he predestined us, that's God, God predestined us for adoption through Jesus Christ according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace. So what I want to pull from that for you to just think about for a second is God chose to adopt you. All right? God, let me just expound on that just for a half a second. Imagine you being in the orphanage. Nobody wants you, right? But God came and he saw you and he chose to adopt you. He chose. All right? Does that make sense? Pretty beautiful already, right? Not only did he choose, but if you look now at chapter 2, verse 11 through 13, look at what Paul says here. He says, remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands. Remember that you were at a time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Let me just pause right there. He's just saying, listen, if you're an unbeliever or if you're a believer, remember there was a time when you weren't. There was a time when you were separated from God. And he closes that by saying, and in that being, when you're separated from God, he says, you have no hope. You have no hope. All right. But something's about to radically change here. Look at what he says in verse 13. He says, but something different here. Now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. So God has brought you near to him. So not only did he go, in a sense, to the orphanage and pick you out and choose to adopt you into his family, but he has brought you from the orphanage into his home. He's brought you near to him through his son, Jesus. All right? Now, there's a tremendous result from that. If you'll jump over to chapter 3, verse 20. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. In other words, what Paul is saying there, listen, Christ is able to do abundantly more in and through you than what you can even imagine. So everybody tracking with me in the progression here, God chose you to be adopted by Him. He brought you near to Him through the blood of His Son. And now that you have His Son, hey, there is no limit to what He can do through you. In fact, you can't even conjure it all up. All right? Now look at chapter 4 with me. What's the first word? Therefore. All right? On the basis of actually the whole first four chapters, but on the basis of the things that I've drawn out of those this morning, okay? On the basis of the fact that, hey, God chose you and He made a way for you to come to His family, and now that you're in His family, nothing is impossible for you. All right? He can do abundant. Because of that, all right, because of that, therefore, he says what? Walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called. That makes sense, doesn't it? Walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. Why? Because of Christ. Why walk in a manner worthy? Because Christ has enabled you to do that. Because Christ's love compels us to do the same. Right? Okay? You with me? That's what Paul is saying here so far. And so now that we have the motivation for this and the reason for it because of Christ, here's the next question that comes logically. How do we do that? Anybody want to know how to do that this morning? How do we actually walk in a manner worthy of the calling that we've been called? And this is what I see actually in our text this morning, which is verse 16. In our text, Paul is going to give us what I'm going to call this morning the big picture or the movement of this walk and its result. Before we get to verse 16, just look at verse 15 with me. He says, rather speaking the truth in love, here's what we're supposed to be doing, right? Grow up in every way unto who? The head, who is Christ, okay? So that's the objective, all right? And now look at what he does here in verse 16. He says, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, it makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. So what I'm suggesting this morning is there is a direct correlation between the motivation of what Christ has done for us and how we're supposed to respond and walk worthy of that calling, and what the picture that Paul is giving to us here in verse 16. And that's what I want to move through this morning and try to explain the correlation or what that worthy walk looks like by seeing and understanding verse 16. So let's just part by part walk through it. So verse 16 again says, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so it builds itself up in love. So Paul is first and foremost here addressing the whole body. That's what he says right in the text. What is the whole body? Many parts make up the body. In fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12 on the screen behind me, you'll see that Paul says there, for just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. So here's the point. We are all members here that make up the body of Christ. So I want you to think about it this way. If you're a member, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, then you are the church. This building is not the church. You didn't come to church this morning. You are the church. Does that make sense? That's what Paul wants us to understand here, okay? This building isn't the church, all right? We are the church, all right? And then he goes on and he says that we're joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped. And I think the point that I want to just pull out of that, one simple little point, is this. We are not separated or isolated, and we do not operate individually. Okay? I think that's a problem in the church, is that we have this mindset that, hey, I'm going to go to church on Sunday morning, and I'm going to worship on Sunday morning, and I'm going to get fed on Sunday morning, and then I'm going to go home because that's for me. But that Paul's trying to paint a different picture for us to visualize here this morning. And the picture is, we are the church. And when we come together, we're actually coming together, and then the actual church is realized. We could all meet, maybe not today, but out in that field, or the field on the other side of Attica, or the other side of Batavia, and we're the church. Because the church is realized when the people come together and the body is able to be visualized. Does that make sense? Okay? So that's the point that Paul is trying to flesh out here. So here's the simple takeaway. Everyone who is trusting in Jesus is part of his body, and therefore we have a responsibility to participate in this equipping that he talks about, the way that we're joined together by every joint and then equipped. All right? We all have a responsibility. In fact, Paul continues and makes that real plain when he says, when each part is working properly. So you see, Paul's clearly after that. He wants us to understand that we make up the body. When we come together, the body can be visually realized. And the only way that the body's going to grow is when all of the individual parts to the body work together. When they work properly, as he says here. So what does he mean when he says work properly? I think that what he means is when we serve the body to the end that it grows like Christ, again, because of Christ. Okay? So, what is that going to entail? Well, it's going to entail growing yourself, right? If you are part of what makes up the body and you refuse to grow, will the body suffer or grow? Suffer. So the first thing that's going to happen is you're going to have to be committed or willing to put your yes on the table and say, okay, I'll start with me growing. Because when I start to grow, other things are going to happen. In other words, you're going to have to be willing to be stretched. You're going to have to be willing to learn. And here's the most difficult thing. You're going to have to be willing to change. I want to be like, I don't know, one of those really big, strong guys. Can't think of their names. But I don't want to do anything different. What's the chance of my success? Not much. In other words, I have to radically change some things if I want to be like that. And so it is with the church. That's what Paul's saying. Listen, if the church is going to grow, if we want to grow, then we're going to have to be willing to recognize we are the body. We have to participate. And the first fundamental foundational way that we participate is we desire to grow individually. And that's going to mean, hey, God's going to chisel away at you. He's going to stretch you. He's going to force you into a situation where you're going to have to change so that you can get some results. Okay? So when we participate like this, it says in the text that the body grows and builds itself up in love. And so I want to pause, me being up here. And I want you to think about, you know, what will that take and what would it actually look like here, okay? And so I've asked Michelle Pohl to prepare a testimony, and she's going to come now, and she's going to share her testimony of this text in action, okay? So, Michelle, would you come?
This will seem loud, but it's not, so it picks up in the mic.
Okay. Good morning again. So over the summer, our church was looking for more people to step up and be teachers. I did not see myself as a teacher. I had taught junior church years ago, and I never felt equipped or like I was doing any lesson any good and that the kids were not walking away with anything. So rather than say no when I was asked if I would teach, I told the person that had called me that I would pray about it and I would get back to them. After praying for a few weeks, I still had no clear direction. I didn't have a solid no and I didn't have a solid yes. But based on the fact that I still had no training and I felt unequipped, my answer was still leaning towards no. It wasn't long after that that Pastor called me and asked if I would consider teaching, so I still wanted to crawl in a hole. I expressed my concern of not knowing how to teach, that this was extremely out of my comfort zone. I sit behind a desk. I don't stand in front of people and teach. I don't even like to stand in front of you guys and give our financial reports. So I'm really bad at saying no. And as we sat on the phone, I found myself still wanting to say no, which is surprising, until he offered me a mentor. And this was exactly what I was looking for. He asked if I would teach with Ellen. So it wasn't under Ellen's authority. It wasn't by myself. It was with Ellen. So the push that he gave me allowed me to make a commitment and jump in to see what happens. Trust me, I was extremely skeptical and how you could turn me into a teacher. But I will always give God a chance to show me this is where I'm supposed to be or it's not where I'm supposed to be. I was very spoiled in that I had lots of one-on-one time with Ellen. She walked me through how to break down the lesson, how to study the lesson, and how to teach the lesson. She sat alongside me. I got to watch her teach for several weeks, watching the things that she said, how she gently corrected children, and how she answered questions and kept everyone on track. When it was my turn, I was a nervous wreck. And that day, I was only standing in front of my own child. There was nobody else in that class. So for God to make things align so that it was only my own child was amazing, because there was more comfort there knowing I hopefully was not going to be judged by my daughter. So as the weeks passed, Ellen and I continued to prepare lessons together, and eventually I could prepare my lesson with little assistance. We currently alternate teaching weeks and each take a portion of review. It's a wonderful partnership. My journey didn't and doesn't come without questions and frustrations, but the things Ellen has pointed out to me and asked me to try and improve on has made a big difference in how the lesson is received. I went from no way am I going to teach to being able to not hesitate if Ellen is supposed to teach and I have to take over her lesson. I have grown spiritually in many ways. The Bible is one of many tools I have used to convey God's truth to the children. I have learned how to appropriately use outside resources such as videos and skits to apply God's word. I have also become much more confident in life and speaking about God and the lessons he has for each of us every day. Last week, the lesson was on Cain and Abel, and I was able to use that biblical truth during the week to explain our thought process and how it needs to align with God's and how he is always reaching out to us and that we need to always be watching for that. I'm not going to lie. I was not thrilled to be asked to teach. I was hoping they would just skip over me. But knowing that God was either going to guide me and teach me or he was going to draw me in another direction, I really had nothing to lose. So long as I was always looking to him for guidance. We always need to be looking for ways to serve God in areas where we have no experience or desire. His teaching can flow into so many areas of life, you just can't deny his presence. So where has my walk led me? The verse Luke 9:23, deny yourself and take up your cross daily and follow me. I had to have faith that in God that he would complete the work that he had started. I knew giving up of my selfish time to him could only be rewarding. I love to learn. I love to be taught. What learning to teach has taught me to stay humble, to listen to him for direction and correction, and to love those who he has put into my life to teach me. Turning those fears over to him is one of the greatest reliefs you can feel. I knew that if this is what he wanted, the lessons would flow. They would be understandable, and they would be absorbed, and they were. I knew in my mind I didn't have to have time to put forth to making teaching an option, but he always seemed to make that part easy. God brings opportunities into our life to see if we will follow him. It's not until the time has passed and we look back to see if we have accepted him or rejected him. I am thankful he pushed me hard enough to draw me closer to him, learning to love him in a new way and to love on the teachers around me, the students around me, and the church body around me. Thank you.
Thank you. Great job. Okay. Paul says that we're all part of this body, and we as individual members make it up, and we're joined together. And as we participate together, as we work together, as we seek to serve the body, that's God's way of growing us. And as we grow, you heard from Michelle in her own words, has she grown as a result of her trusting God? Yes. And has the church then grown? And is the church going to grow as a result of Michelle growing? Yes. Okay. And so let me just help you think through something here. So as Michelle alluded to, I call her, she's our money girl. All right. Cause like she knows money and knows how to handle money and does the counting thing and just all that stuff. And she's learned and worked hard and become very efficient and skilled in accounting and a great, important way that she serves this body of believers is by using that skill and that talent that she has. And she's been very faithful in that. While she might be up here nervous, we all very much appreciate all that she knows, and we entrust that to her. And that's a great thing for us as a body, right? So that's a way that Michelle serves this body, through her talent and ability to do accounting, all right? And that's important. Don't leave. It's important and necessary and right. But she doesn't really have any fear in doing that. And it doesn't directly help Michelle to grow in her faith, especially the way this church gives. Okay? And it doesn't really necessarily help us to grow in our faith directly. All right? Compared to back in August, when God wanted Michelle to step up to the plate, as you heard her say, right? She was scared to death. And that fear was leaning her toward, no, that's not for me. I'm a behind the desk person. I'm not a upfront kind of person. All right. But God wanted to grow her and this body. So what did it take? And I want to suggest this morning, it takes two primary things, all right? The first is in Hebrews 11, verse 6. It says there, without faith, it's impossible to please God, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. Faith means that we must trust God to do something that we cannot. And you heard that also in Michelle's testimony, didn't you? She had to trust God to do something that she knew she couldn't do. All right? She had to, at some point in that journey, put her yes on the table and say, okay, I'll step into this. And like she said, you know, maybe God will reveal I'm supposed to do this. Maybe he'll reveal he won't. But she was trusting the fact that he's going to be faithful on one side of it or the other. But she's going to be faithful right now to step into it. and not be the one who decides that, but let God decide that for her. Okay? Does that make sense? I want to just put this in there as well. When I asked Michelle to teach, it's not because we needed as a church a warm body to fill that classroom. It's because actually I saw God doing something in Michelle's life, and I saw an opportunity as her shepherd and the shepherd and pastor of this church to equip her and this body of believers. At the end of last school year, Michelle shared with me how God provided an opportunity for her to go into the school, into Melanie's classroom, among Melanie's classmates, and share a little Bible study. And it was in that and their interaction, and they're very heavily involved in the school, which is a great thing because God's going to afford them those kinds of opportunities because they have relationships there. And it was because of that that I said, you know what? I want to come alongside Michelle. I see what God's doing in her life, and I want to come alongside it and help her to be equipped. And that was my reasoning for actually asking her to step into this role so that she could learn and be equipped. All right? So I say that as a plug to encourage you. When I ask you to do something, I'm not God, but I believe that God leads me and guides me as your shepherd. And I see, and there's a reason and a purpose for it. And it has everything to do with what Paul's talking about here, the whole body and the growth of the whole body. So, this verse says that we have to have faith. That's the place that God brought Michelle to. Well, what's it going to be, Michelle? Yes or no? Will you trust me to do something that I know and you know you can't do? Will you trust me? Will you put your yes on the table? And when Michelle put her yes on the table, the second part comes into play, which is Proverbs 27:17. There it says, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. I want you to think about this process of two pieces of iron. And how do they become sharp? And it's they have to rub against each other, and oftentimes that rubbing is an abrasive thing. But what's actually happening to the metal as they're rubbing against each other? Little bit by little bit, pieces of metal are being taken off. And an edge is being developed so that the piece of metal can become, actually the intention here is a sword. It can actually become useful for something. Does that make sense? So there's this process of learning and being stretched and even being challenged. I know one of the things that Michelle had to learn in this process is it's not at all about teaching a lesson on Sunday morning. It's about learning a lesson and applying that lesson in your life and in your home. Then you can come share it on Sunday morning. Right? Okay? She had to learn that 2 hours or 3 hours on Saturday wasn't even coming close to being prepared. She had to learn that it was something that she had to eat every day and digest every day. Right? And so she had to be willing to be sharpened. She had to be willing to be corrected. She had to be willing to change. She had to be willing to grow. But when we're willing, what's God do? Did you hear how her confidence radically changed to where, did you hear it in her? Like, it's not something she does on Sunday morning. It's a joy for her to come and share what God has done in her. Like, you get it? That's a real teacher that will have a persuasiveness with the people that they're teaching. She's not just delivering information. She's sharing her life and her journey and her walk with God that week with whoever she sits in front of. Right? So here's the big picture then. of working properly. Christ gifts the church, this is verse 12, with leaders to equip the saints to do the work of ministry. And the work of ministry is serving the body to replicate this work, to reproduce this work, to reproduce the reality of Christ. That's what Paul says, that we're all growing to look like who? Jesus. To replicate him. So in other words, this is what it actually looks like. We, the leaders, are to teach you how to say, for example, defend your faith. Why? So you can defend your faith. Or we're to teach you how to evangelize. Why? So you can share Jesus with others. We're to teach you how to teach so you can teach. We're to teach you how to lead so you can lead. And we're to teach you how to put off the old and embrace the new so you can do that and lead others to do that also. We're to teach you how to serve so you can serve and lead others to do this. And when we do this, on both sides, when we interact with how God works, listen, God, remember, He has abundantly more in store for you than what you can even imagine. Michelle, would you confess to the fact that you have experienced some of the abundantly more than you could have imagined back in August? Oh, absolutely. But what did it take? It took her saying yes to Jesus, faith, trusting that God was going to work in it somehow, not knowing how, but He's going to work. I believe He exists and He rewards those who pursue Him. That's what the text says. And then being willing to step in and be discipled or be sharpened or be taught and help learn and grow, which involves change, right? When we do this, we experience the body building itself up in love. And this is the result. The body experiences growth through the internal building up of one another in love. That is, giving up of ourselves for their good. That's what happens. Meaning, we grow in Christ by serving His body, and doing so, we replicate Him. That's the big picture message from Paul today. So, looking forward, maybe you're at this point just asking this question. How can I serve the body? What's the work of ministry for me? And if that's the thought that's going through your mind, I'm really excited this morning about that for you. I'm not going to answer it this morning, but I'm going to point us in a direction this morning. Allow me to encourage you. If you signed up for the small group ministry that we're going to begin in just a few weeks, you're in the right path. And if you didn't, I want to again close by encouraging you to do that today and hand that paper to me or come talk to me about it. Because in that study, our first study is going to take up a study that is directly aimed at helping us to understand what the church is and what it's supposed to be according to the Bible, and therefore it's going to paint an absolutely clear picture of what is the work of ministry for the members. That's going to be step one. And I got to tell you, I'm very, very, very excited, and I cannot imagine that all God is going to be pleased to do through it. So next week, as I promised already, I'm going to have the details of these small groups, and I'll present that next week. But for now, let's not miss today. Seek to trust God to do something abundantly more than you can. That's faith. Seek to trust God to do something abundantly more than you can, and then allow yourself to be sharpened. You will, listen to me, you will grow. You will. Metal does not rub together and stay dull. It rubs together and it gets sharp. You will grow, and this body will grow. I want to close by saying thank you to Dave and Ellen and Anna for investing a week of their life intentionally being taught about how to grow in their faith. And I'm excited about how God's going to use that in the future to help us grow in our faith. So thank you for spending a week, investing a week, and being away from your families. And Dave, I especially thank you, brother, for caring for our ladies in such a wonderful way that God has positioned you to do. So thank you very much. Let's close this morning in prayer. Father, thank you for your word this morning. Thank you that we are the body of Christ, each of us. As we come together, that's realized. I pray as you have taught us this morning that your purposes and your ways of growing us is to cause us to engage with this body and serve this body and learn and grow. So I pray with great anticipation and great excitement about what you're going to do in the weeks that follow. So I pray for all of us that we are able to take this first step, and that is to say yes to you and to trust you. And so we pray for that as we move forward into the weeks ahead to realize this this word more by way of experience. And we thank you this morning in Jesus' name. Amen.